Unicorns. This is Severin. I'm your host today, Thursday, 2 p.m., as usual. For young farmers, radio by young farmers, radio from young farmers around the country. We are sponsored this week and every week by Hearst Family Ranch. And delighted to be joined today on the line by Ray. Ray in New Hampshire. Are you there, Ray?
I am.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Ray, would you mind introducing yourself and your farm?
Yeah. My name is Ray Sprague. I was born and raised in Plainfield, New Hampshire on Edgewater Farm. Our farm is right on the Connecticut, about halfway up the state on, western New Hampshire.
And what's growing on your farm, and what part of that farm are you most involved with?
I'm most involved with the vegetable production. We have some under greenhouse and some mostly outside. We also do bedding plants and perennials and annuals for people to come and buy for their own personal gardens. I'm involved in all aspects. We also grow a fair amount of strawberries, about 7 to 10 acres, and that's one of my primary focuses. So, yeah, that and the vegetable production would be, I guess,
living in your area, would you characterize it as a rural or a suburban area where they're coming to buy perennials for their gardens?
It's rural, semi-rural, with a little bit of suburban creeping in on us, but not too bad yet.
And tell us what you did. Did you continue to stay at the farm ever since you were little, or did you go away briefly and come back?
Yeah, I went to 4 years of I got a Bachelor of Arts degree out at Prescott College, and I was out there, and I didn't really know what I wanted to study. It was one of those kind of things, and continued to miss the farm a little bit, and then came back, and my parents never really pressured me or anything, but kind of just liked what I was doing, so I returned. And I'm a pretty permanent fixture up here now.
And are you surrounded by other farms that also have young people working on them, or are you feeling like you're kind of an exception?
All my younger cousins are into the dairy thing, and they're on the same road. But a lot of like vegetable growers up here, around my dad's age or so, it's just in this pocket. Most of them are like in their, mid to late 50s, early 60s, and it's kind of hard. I think they're having trouble like figuring out like farm transfer issues, because a lot of them don't want to sell the farm, but a lot of their kids have gone off and done other things, and so somewhat of an exception, I guess, in this pocket, but yeah.
And your markets are direct? You're doing farmers markets, or you're going shipping stuff in big trucks to supermarkets in Boston, or what's your particular configuration for distribution?
We try and focus on this little area. We have a couple of local co-ops that are pretty large, and that's primarily the only wholesaling that we do. They are within, probably about a 10-mile radius. And then we have a farm stand on a more main road, which we open in June once our strawberries start taking kind of, and run it through the middle, usually Columbus Day weekend. Now we've tinkered a little bit with, we have a satellite DSA location where we do, box shares in a community about 25 minutes away. And that's about as far as we run the trucks, which is pretty good. Yeah, because we do. I mean, we've never filled trailers or anything like that. I was kind of more into the whole wholesaling thing, but now I'm realizing that the bigger you get into that, the less money that ends up in pockets around here. So yeah,
the price per pound for wholesale and I just know on apples, just because of my friend Derek down the road, it's like $2.50 if you sell direct and 8 cents a pound if you sell to a wholesaler for juice, which is just an extraordinary spread for the same product.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what are the parts of the farm that are particularly good for new innovation, or where do you feel like you would like to take the business in the next, say, 5 years that reflects what you've come to understand about local food system near you?
I would like to have more on farm, maybe a home farm CSA, maybe. The farm stand's a great model. One thing that we've really learned is that people don't know what to do with a lot of these products that we have. And I feel strongly that a kitchen is a pretty crucial element to a farm these days. Doing the value-added stuff, canning, cook, salting, all that added product. And because we have a ton of shrink that, stuff that we can't put at our farm stand, stuff that we can't, just can't sell, but it's still really usable food. So that's a direction I'd like to head in. My sister is actually on the farm still, too, which is pretty awesome. She's really into growing, like perennial and annual plants for, ornamental gardens and for local designers. And I think that crowd has really helped us both bring people to the farm to buy vegetables, but also to come and do that to garden. So, yeah, we're I ramble on sometimes, but the family is all still working here together, and I think that as long as we can continue in that path, it's a good direction.
And was the farm business started by your parents, or was it earlier than that? And what was the story of how the farm got started?
The farm was originally it belonged to the Colby family in the late 1800s, and some of the remaining barns that we still have here were massive chicken production. They did egg and had a few beef and a few dairy cows. A place where we store a lot of our vegetable tools for vegetable weeding, or it was an old milking shed. And my mom grew up on the road dairy farming, and they bought the farm in early 70s, and from there they picked up a couple other pieces of land like pretty close by, and they didn't really know. My dad started out as wanted to grow some organic sweet corn. He came out of UNH with a horticulture degree and thought that would be a good idea. And then they soon got talked into growing strawberries to pick your own. So it just kind of picked up things and grown from there a little bit. But, yeah.
So you guys are all certified organic, the whole acreage, or you're not certified, or what's your...
We're not certified organic. We use fungicides for, our small fruit and, spray. We practice IPM in the greenhouses and with our sweet corn, but we haven't figured out the organic thing. I'm not sure. Yeah, there's a big discussion there, but yeah, we'll leave it at that.
You're not totally convinced either way?
I'm not convinced. No, I'm not convinced either way. I came back. I studied some permaculture in college, and I thought that it would be nice to have a piece of land that was, or an area that was organic. A few guys around here grow for markets. They have their corn, and then they have organic fields, But our rotation, we're land short a little bit, and our rotation is in heavy production with strawberries, and it's kind of hard to give me the 3-year thing. But I mean, we use those crops that go without getting sprayed, and then there's this year we with the tomato blight and stuff, there's stuff that gets sprayed heavier, and it was just
Well, one good thing you have on your side is that you have been on the farm for such a long time that you would probably qualify for a USDA equipment or land loan. I just was on the phone with them this week asking them about how to qualify for, they have this like 1.2% or 1.6% fixed rate loan to buy land or equipment.
Yep.
And, I don't know, loans are scary and buying things is scary, but you have the advantage of a longer tenure. And you would qualify, at least in the state of New York. I read the requirements. You could like buy another farm down the road and start an organic part.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always possibilities.
So you have a project of wanting to do more value added, more processing with your sister. And what would that look like? Would that be like a kitchen on the farm, or would it be working more with like a local restaurant, or how do you feel like that would shape up?
It would be like this is the vision. Our farm stand would have a lower deck, like it's a single floor. You know, it's a single floor farm stand. It would have like a kind of like a basement, like root and storage cellar with you know, maybe like the processing kitchen down there where like the stuff got ready, and then like that main floor where the people came in, there would be a kitchen up there where, you know, maybe there would be like baked goods and you know, stuff being made, so people could like see that, all right, this stuff comes from the land here and is processed here, and it, you know, it's not like this, we don't know where it came from, or it just Tostitos put it in a can, you know. It's, they can see the tomatoes on the shelf that made the salsa, you know, and or the salads right there for people to pick up, because we found that people, you know, they want to come in and they want stuff that's ready to eat, you know. And I mean, to me, a tomato or a cucumber is ready to eat, but it's that extra step. Yeah,
it's astounding. You'd think that we need to change the public school system and teach people how to cook a little more, so they would be able to buy more vegetables and
not just cook a little more. I would also add that we need more education on like growing things. It's funny to see people like coming and not understanding like what, you know, they see stuff in a grocery store, but they don't know like what, you know, how it grew, like what kind of plants are those over there. They don't, you know. People ask, like, what are those plants with, like, beautiful purple flowers? And we're like, those are potatoes, you know. The potatoes are underneath. But I think that, yeah, there needs to be a shift in that. I mean, we didn't grow up, and this is an agricultural area, and we didn't grow up learning any of that stuff at school. So I went to Africa, and I saw, we went and visited a school in Zimbabwe, and they're, you know, they're teaching the kids at young ages that agriculture is a class, you know, like math and English and science, you know.
So what do you think that they should teach in the school? I mean, what do you think would be useful to you coming in already in the second generation of a family farm? What would have been useful to learn, or what do you still want to go and find in terms of training outside of regular school as like from now on?
What kind of
class would you want to take?
I think it's as simple as in like primary school, is getting kids out, like, you know, taking a piece of the playground lawn and around here and having some guy plow it up, and for them to like get in the soil and plant simple things, beans and corn, you know, beans and corns in the spring, you know, and you know, seeing those things, or even like starting having little greenhouses with a little germination chamber, so people can see that this is how it comes up, and then, you know, they come back to school in the fall, and you know, maybe somebody takes care of the garden for them, or there's summer programs, or I don't, you know, there's plenty of directions you could go, but it's just people need to see like how like the vegetables grow, and that they don't need to specifically have the most I think that would adjust, like, people would realize that you can eat stuff that doesn't look perfect, you know. There's that whole, everyone wants everything to be, like, aesthetically perfect, but I don't know. That thing, it just needs to, the whole consumer aspect needs to grow as well.
Do you feel like I'm all over the place.
But, to get back to
you're good. No, this is fine. Would you feel like, do you feel like the economics of small farming is something that you're able to translate from math classes and from school, or do you feel like more business training would have been useful to you, or do you learn that from the family?
I didn't really take any business courses. I guess it would come from, I do a lot of the wholesaling, a little bit of accounting there, and I'll pick up more over time. But that's a pretty solid part of farming. There's extension stuff that I go to, my mom wants me to learn QuickBooks, and there's that whole aspect of farming, which is, you're also managing a business, and a lot of times in the summer, it gets lost a little bit. But that would have been more helpful for me. I think in all during my education, I didn't really even, the first course that I really started to apply to like farming was in high school. I took a ecology course where I started learning about succession and layers of the forest, and then I could see the Native Americans use the three sisters, and that's kind of a rough example, but it's something that you can kind of translate across the line. But
So what would the succession look like on your farm? Say you did have less land pressure, what would you imagine to be the next step beyond this kitchen, making strawberry jam and stuff? How would you integrate more perennial and kind of food forest thinking into a active vegetable operation like yours?
It's kind of funny. I think it's a lot to do with the rotation and creating more. There's more. Hang on a second. This other phone's ringing at me. We use a lot of cover cropping to mitigate pests and to curb soil disease. If we had more space for that, we could leave fields fallow. But as far as us, it's hard because I always look at it we have rows of blueberries. Couldn't we put stuff in the lower levels, more shade, like stuff that didn't need so much sunlight in the summertime to utilize more space in these rows but as far as that whole food forest, what would it look like around me? It'd be more the upper canopy, I guess, it'd be nut trees, and finding mushrooms and stuff in the lower areas. People are inoculating logs and stuff for mushroom planting, and it's almost cultivate also deer crops and turkey around here. There's a mix of stuff that you could do, but how to apply that to the business model is kind of, I don't know, tough. I don't know, is that kind of vague? Do you need me to?
No, that's fine. I mean, it seems like it's a long-term thinking project anyway, to figure out, to really learn the business and learn the rotations and learn what works right now, and then, applying yourself to how that evolves. It's a major, it's like the work of a lifetime.
Yeah, or many lifetimes.
What about pigs?
Yeah, the evolution of the farm is always seems to be occurring. And there's people with different ideas coming on and being you guys should do this and that. And in somewhat, you know, that you need to grow and do these different things, but you also need to recognize that, you know, at some level, it needs to be economic. There needs to be economic feasibility for those things. Yeah.
So like, and it probably takes a while to learn why decisions are made a certain way and what the economic ramifications of all of the actions are. And I mean, it's pretty hard to beat strawberries.
Yeah.
Per acre.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I appreciate so much your coming on. I wanted to let you have a chance to mention any local resources that are have been really relevant to you or your farm website.
Local resources. I guess this is the time to give a shout out to like the extension. Extension has been very helpful in New Hampshire. There's not enough money in the those programs for like land grant. I know they're tight right now. You know, like our consumers in this area are getting really good education from this organization, Vital Communities. They're helping with the whole locavore movement and stuff. And then, yeah, I don't know. Oh, if you want to check out what we do and our growing practices, our farm's website is www.edgewaterfarm.com.
Awesome, Ray. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope someday we get to meet in person, and until then, it's really great to know that you're doing what you're doing, where you're doing it. And if anybody lives near Ray in southern New Hampshire, southwestern New Hampshire?
Southwest, central.
New Hampshire, get in touch with Ray and go hang out with him.
Yeah, come on by.
Come on. This is Severin, and this is Greenhorns Radio. We are sponsored this week and every week by Hearst Family Ranch. We had a great time last weekend at the Pig's Butchery Workshop, and we have upcoming more workshops called the Duck Pluck, where you can come and learn to pluck a duck. Check us out online, www.thegreenhorns.wordpress.com. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.